Well, amen. Praise the Lord for all the special music that we have been blessed by today. If you have your Bibles with you at this time, if you look with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is the 32nd book of the Bible. It's in between Obadiah and Micah. The book of Jonah, another message out of the book of Jonah. What a tremendous book of the Bible it is that God has given to us for us to learn from this. And so Jonah chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 12 this morning. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 12. If you would, if you're able, go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said every one to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, "Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be here and for all that have taken advantage of their opportunity to be in this service here today. And Lord, again, we thank you for what we've already received. But now, God, we ask that you would speak through the preaching of thy word once again. That you would use me, Lord God, I pray, as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, we look here in Jonah in chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. We find that Jonah, the prophet of God, received instruction from God. He was given an assignment. This would be God's will for Jonah to do what God had assigned him to do. In verse 3, we find that Jonah chooses not to do what God wanted him to do. Can I tell you that, and I preached a message out of this book not too long ago and on the free will of Jonah. Even though he was a prophet of God, he had a free will, as we all do. And we choose to serve God, or we choose not to. And so we find here that Jonah chose not to obey God's assignment, And Jonah chooses not to do what God wanted him to do. In verse 4, God begins to execute his design plan, a trial for Jonah. Because look what it says, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind. This was the beginning. God's seen exactly what was taking place. He knew what was in Jonah's heart. He knew where the rebellion came from. And we find that God begins to execute a plan, a trial for Jonah. In verses 5 through 9, and this is the message I want to preach this morning, is Jonah is asked to answer three questions, basically. God's recorded this for us. Jonah is asked to answer three questions. These questions didn't come from another prophet. God allowed these questions to come from some sailors, some mariners, that Jonah, through his rebellion, had put their lives in danger. Verse 5, the Bible says that everyone on the ship was afraid. Then the mariners, the sailors, were afraid and cried every man to his God. Can I tell you that any time that you're fearful of your life, you're looking for a God, any God, if there's a chance of saving you? If you look in America even, it's when America has been threatened with wars and all the different things that could put us into a panic as far as we're looking for a God to possibly deliver us from whatever it might be. They wanted to believe that there was a God when they needed more than themselves. Now, of course, I'm sure you've heard the little story about the man who fell over a cliff. And as he fell over a cliff, he was able to grab hold of a root sticking out of the cliff. And he thought he was going to lose his life, and he didn't really believe in God, but he looked up into the heavens and said, if there is a God, could you save me? And he heard the voice of God saying, let go, and I'll catch you. And he looked back up and said, is there another God that can save me? Yeah. Even though we are looking for a God when we're in fear of our lives, we still want to do it our way. Amen? We're not going to, by faith, do what God tells us to do. So everyone, all these people on the ship, were in danger and feared for their lives. Jonah, in verse 6 here, was awakened by a sailor. Now, this is ironic, but Jonah, a preacher, was preached to by a sailor. Something wrong with that. But Jonah's running from God. And they threw the lots to figure out in their own mind just who has brought this upon them. They knew this was not a storm that they had predicted. This was something that came out of nowhere, and everyone knew that there was some kind of a spiritual reason for what was taking place. And so they threw the lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. And so now they look to Jonah as the reason for them being in the storm that they were in. And the first question that God wanted Jonah to answer is found in verse 8. The Bible says, then said they unto him, these were those that are fearful for their lives, and they're looking at the one that was the reason that they were in the situation that they were in. And they said, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? And what is thy country and of what people are there? Now, as we look there, actually four people spoke out to ask the one question, when you put it together here, is who are you? They wanted to know who this individual was that had connections to a God that controlled the winds and the waves. They wanted to know who this individual was that had put their lives at risk. They wanted to know who he was, but more than that, God wanted Jonah to ask himself, do you know who you are? Because this is part of God's designed trial for Jonah. I'd ask you this morning, who are you? Do you know who you are? In making decisions of life and living your life however you choose, you have a free will to live however you want to live, but you choose the lifestyle that you're living. You choose to do what you're doing, or you choose not to do something that you might think that you ought to be doing, but you're not doing it because you choose not to. Well, first of all, do you know who you are? Who are you? As an adult in the United States of America, anyway, we have identification. If you drive on the roads in the United States of America, you need to have a picture ID driver's license. That's the law. Now, they want that because they want to know that if you're driving on the roads in the United States of America, you have passed the test to be able to know how to drive on the roads. I question that quite often. You know, I think some didn't pass the test. They cheated somehow or another. And I'm often asking, wondering if they got their driver's license out of a Cracker Jack box because they're not driving the way they should be driving. But we all have that. We have a birth certificate to prove our age. That's why you don't want to keep a hold of that. You try to hide that. But your birth certificate will reveal your exact age, and it will also reveal your citizenship. And so we're required to have a birth certificate, so that you will be aware of your identity. And with that, accountability. If asked today by a lost man, who are you? Do you know your identity? Now, Jonah's answer was good. And I love that. Look at verse 9. Jonah answers that question. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. That's pretty good. Because that was true. He didn't try to lie his way out of it. He knew who he was. He knew that he was God's chosen, of God's chosen people, the Hebrews. He knew that he feared God because he understood the reality of a creator God, and he reverenced him and he feared him. He answered correctly. I believe this was the beginning of Jonah's repentance and rededication, because he answered truthfully. Can I tell you that we all need to remember who we are? It'll make a difference in the decisions you make in life. Especially if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Let me just read to you what the book of Galatians, what God has given to us in the book of Galatians in chapter 4 concerning Jesus Christ and him being God's only begotten son. In verse 4, the Bible says this, when the fullness of the time was come, I mean, after God had prepared humanity to be able to receive the Messiah, to be able to receive the only begotten Son of God, when the fullness of the time, because God has always had a design for humanity. And as he has a design for humanity, you being a part of humanity, God has a design and a purpose for your life. So when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, to save them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. If you have at some point in your life done what the Bible says a person must do to be saved, to have everlasting life, you have become a child of God's. And can I tell you, that is the most important thing to know about yourself. If you are a saved individual, then you are saved and you have been adopted into the very family of God, meaning that you have God as your heavenly Father, the God of all creation, the God of heaven and earth. You have God as your heavenly Father. You have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have the Holy Spirit of God as your comforter that dwells within you. You have all of God at your disposal. God has made it that way. He's designed it that way. No devil wants to blind you to that. If you're saved, you have God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Yeah. As having Jesus Christ as my Savior, as I look at my identity, not only am I God's son, but I am a Christian. And as a Christian, I am supposed to live as Christ lived. Follow in his footprints. If I'm going to have that fellowship with my heavenly Father. Because our fellowship with God the Father is through God the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how God designed it. That's what the Bible teaches us. And so, it will determine if I continue to look at my identity when I'm getting ready to make decisions for my life. First of all, it has to be, I'm a child of God's. As a child of God's and as a born-again believer, there's things that I should do and there's things that I should not do because of my identity. If I am a husband, then there's things that I should do and the things that I should not do as a married man or a married woman. If I have children, that changes the scope of things too, but it does not change that I am, first of all, a child of God. I'm a Christian husband. I'm a Christian father. In my life, then I have to look at my identity on a regular basis to realize not only am I have all of these positions, but I'm also a pastor for some 40 years in ministry. And I am an ambassador. As a pastor, there are certain things I should do and certain things I should not do. As an ambassador, there are certain things I should do and I should not do because I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. Now I am an ambassador for Christ. That's my identity. And if I don't keep track of that, if I don't remind myself of that, I'm likely to do what Jonah did. Run away from God and anything that God would assign me to do. And not only me, but you. You know who you are. Yeah. If you know who you are, then what are you doing? That's what Jonah just now realized. When they brought him up, he was asleep down there, and they brought him up, and they throw out the stones and they point to Jonah, and Jonah now has been exposed, and they ask him, "Who are you?" Possibly for the first time in some time, he sees himself for who he should have been. Beginning of his repentance, the beginning of his rededication to the cause that he was called to. The second question is found right after that. The second question that God wanted Jonah to answer is another question that you and I need to answer. And it's found in verse 10. "Then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this?" Good question. That's a really good question. Why hast thou done this? Jonah does not answer that question. Look in there all you want. Jonah does not answer that question, but he knew. But it was not worth revealing. Because now where he finds himself and understanding who he is, he realized that's no excuse for what I've done. Can I tell you, and you've heard me say this quite often because it's true, but there's always a reason why people behave wrongly, but there's never an excuse for wrong behavior. Never an excuse. But there's always reasons why. Are you running from God today? Are you out of church? If you're not in church, you are running from God. You say, "Preacher, I'm in church." You're sitting in the auditorium this morning. There's a difference between visiting the church or coming to a church on a one time, but then there's a totally different will of God concerning you being connected to the church that Jesus Christ established. And when you receive him, he has a body he wants to plant you in, and he wants you to be a part of that local called out assembly. He wants you because you become the church. Church is not the building. Lighthouse Baptist Church is not this building. It's where we assemble. But the Lighthouse Baptist Church is made up of individual born-again believers that the Holy Spirit of God planted to be a part and make this church this church. Are you in church? If you're not in church, knowing that's God's will for your life, you ought to know it's God's will for your life. That's exactly what Jesus Christ had established for this New Testament church age. Then you are running from God. And there's a reason for it. There's no excuse for it. But there's a reason for it. Are you out of service? Sometimes you can be in church, but you're out of service. Being in service means that I'm serving the Lord where he's planted me. With the gifts, the abilities, the spiritual gifts and the physical abilities, the opportunities that God has made possible to me to be able to use them in service to him. So are you in service? If you're out of service, you're running from God. I hate it when I see the out of service signs. Especially if you're out and you got a tire that's just about flat. and you're starting to look around to find an air pump somewhere. Usually you can find air pumps at filling stations. And you go there and you think, all right, I don't have to worry about getting it flat, and I can air it up, and you get out of service because somebody's tried to break into it to steal the quarter or whatever's in there. But it's out of service. It's no good to anybody, even though it's there. But it's no good to anybody. I've run into places needing to use the bathroom before, and you get up there and you're out of service. You're no good to me if you're out of service. I need you to be open for service. I have a need. Out of service. You know, when God looks down upon us, for some, there's an out of service. And God can't use you because you're out of service. Yeah, that's something to think about. We ought to know why. If you're out of service, if you're out of church, or if you're in service and you're in church, you need to know why. The reasons we should do right, or the reasons that we're doing wrong. Need to know the reasons. I think verse 9 is the reason we ought to do right. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry. That is reason enough to be in church. That's reason enough to be in service. Because God is real. I acknowledge the fact that he is real. I understand who he is. He is a creator of all things. That is reason enough for me to be in church. That is reason enough for me to say, Lord God, however you want to use my life, use my life. You're God, I'm not. Well, how we need to ask ourselves, what? Why hast thou done this? Because really, when you narrow it down, you understand the reason you're not. Is it truly a reason worthy of going against the will of God? Because somebody in church was rude to you? Or the preacher didn't meet your expectation? Or some other reason? Is that really reason enough to run from an almighty creator God and render yourself out of service? So that's going through Jonah's mind right now. That's what's happening here with this design trial. It might be that you're in a design trial right now to get you to realize some of these very same things. It's how God worked with Jonah. And it's how God worked with Jonah. It's recorded for us to realize it's how God works with us. Yeah. The third and last question. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee? What shall we do unto thee? Jonah, in your heart, what should happen to you? You've put these people's lives at risk. What should they do with you? God wants Jonah to answer that question. It's God who wanted that question presented to Jonah by these that he had put their lives at risk. What's your expectations? What's your expectations of what God should do with you? First of all, do not expect God to leave you to yourself. (Laughter) That's what you want when you're rebellious. When you're running from God, you don't want to think about God. You don't want the conviction of God. You don't want anybody to remind you of God. That's why you're not in church, and that's why you're, you got a sign on you out of service. That's why Jonah went to the ship, thought he could escape God and all the people on the ship by just going down, hiding somewhere in the lowest deck possible, and just go to sleep. Because he doesn't have to be bothered. Don't expect God to let you live at the bottom of the ship that's getting ready to be capsized and destroyed. Yeah. He was asleep on a ship running away from God's will. I remember as a teenager, and I was out of the will of God. I was running from the call to ministry. I was running from my parents' desire for me to be in church and doing right. And I remember still living at the home during this time, and I was very rebellious. And I'd come in late at night, and I'd hear my mom, and she'd say, "Danny, I'm praying for you." I'm thinking, "No! I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want to think about God. I don't want to think about you and praying for me as your son, wanting me to do right. I don't want to do right. And I don't want to be bothered by those who want me to do right." Amen. Anybody been there, done that? Yeah. Seems like when I was out living in a rebellion, running away from God, there is church signs everywhere. Jesus loves you. I don't want to be reminded that he loves me. Why? Because I'm rebellious. And when you're rebellious, you want to be left alone when it comes to church, when it comes to serving God, living right, doing right. But don't expect God to leave you alone. If you don't have God working a trial in your life, if you don't have God working conviction in your life, listen to me, you're on your way to a devil's hell. Because you've not become a child of God's. Because based on what the Bible says, when you become a child of God's, God is going to bring conviction and chastisement into your life when you are living in rebellion to his will. Hebrews in chapter 12, let me read this so you can write it down. You know the verses, I'm sure. But Hebrews in chapter 12, we have to be reminded from time to time. What's your expectations? For God to just let you live the way you want to live? If you're lost, you can. If you're saved, you can't. Based on what the Bible says. In Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 5, the Bible says this, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, the children of God. My son. God says, my son. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy, but Timothy was a child of God's, and he's writing in God's word, and he says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So there's going to be chastisement. There's going to be a rebuking of your wrong behavior. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know why my mom would put notes in my pockets that when I'm out living opposite the way I should live and I would reach into my pocket and I'd bring it out and it's a Bible verse? You know why she did that? Because she loved me. And it made a difference. Because when I got my heart right with God, I was thankful for my mom, her prayers. I was thankful for that conviction that kept me from going over the cliff. Yeah. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards or illegitimate children. You're not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we have given them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. His holiness, that's in service. As being in service is when you're living a life pleasing unto God. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wow. What shall we do unto thee? Don't expect God to leave you alone, leave you to yourself. Don't expect for all things to work out for good. I've heard more backslidden believers use that verse and don't even understand how blinded they are to it. Well, I know I'm not doing right, but all things are going to work out for good. Everything's going to work out for good to that wife that I just divorced and those children that I run away from and left without a father and left without a mother. It's all good. It's all going to work out for good. That is not what the Bible says. You can't claim that verse unless you love God, unless you are the called according to his purpose. You're living as God would have you to live, and you're called, you are in service, then God will work all things out for good. But that does not apply to you being rebellious and making decisions that affect and impact other people's lives. Don't expect it to turn out for good. Because Satan will get a victory, not only in your life, but in the lives of others that your sin has impacted. The whole ship and all who were on it could have been destroyed and would have been destroyed if Jonah had not repented. Jonah says, I don't deserve forgiveness. I deserve to die. Throw me overboard. That's what I deserve. I don't deserve the love of God. I don't deserve a second chance. Throw me overboard and I'll just perish. God had other plans. But it came from Jonah's free will to admit his sin, confess his sin, and confess that he didn't deserve any forgiveness. Praise God for these three questions that led to Jonah's second chance to obey God's word. Because those were the questions. Doesn't always work out that way. You're not guaranteed a second chance to do a right thing. Praise God for those second chances, because they're determined by your heart and your desire and your free will. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you're running or not. If you're in church and you're in service, know why and rejoice in it every day because of who you are. Don't lose sight of your identity. It's because of your identity and you knowing who you are that you're in church. It's because of your identity and you knowing who you are that you're in service. And why you do what you do in service, serving God. And there are blessings associated with that that you cannot have outside of the will of God. So wherever you're at, answer those three questions and see where that might lead you. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Who are you? Why hast thou done this? And what shall we do unto you? What's your expectations of what God should do to you? In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. I believe the message God wanted me to preach today. Only He knew who was going to be here. And I believe if you're here and you're listening via the live stream, viewing in, being a part of the service, or you're here in this auditorium, God intended you to hear that message. What you do with it, based on your free will. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today's the day of salvation. Don't let it pass you by. Today's the day that you need to remind yourself of who you are and get back to living as God would have you to live. Today's the day. Will you do it? Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word and the example that you've given to us and Jonah. And God, I just pray right now that as we give this invitation, that you would speak to each and every one of us and help us to realize what we need to receive from this message and what we need to apply. Help us to make the right decisions and put ourselves back in service. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.